I'm aware of the time. Amen. I told several people yesterday at prayer, I know what I'm going to preach. I have to develop it, but I know what I'm going to preach. And then I got home, and it wasn't what I was supposed to preach. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was starting to pull the rest of my hair out, thinking, what am I going to do? But God rescued me. If I were to put a title on this message, it would perhaps be Negotiating Our New Nature, or Crucify Him, Crucify Him. So if you turn to Psalms 51, David, in his repentance, it's just a famous chapter. In verse number 10, David, a man after God's own heart, David, who was the king of Israel, David, who was anointed as a boy, here he's saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then if you turn to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, Ezekiel chapter 36, and starting in verse 23, this is a prophecy of what would happen in the New Testament church. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. See, what he's saying is, when I sanctify you, people are going to see the difference in you. You're not the same person that you were. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So it's prophesied of God's spirit within us that's going to change our nature, change our attitude, change our desires. I don't know how God does that, but it happens as fast as God moves in. All of a sudden, we love the things we used to hate, and we hate the things that we used to love. And then 2 more scriptures. If you turn to Luke, the 23rd chapter, and verse number 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. They wanted to release Barabbas, who was a thief, a robber, a murderer. And they wanted Jesus to be crucified. Some of them perhaps were healed by Jesus, heard him teach. Then our last scripture, while you're standing, is Galatians, the 5th chapter. Starting in 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We're grateful for your presence in this place and for every individual that's here, God. We ask God, please open our minds and our hearts. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Could we put the screen back down, please? Here in Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel prophesies that God would put his spirit within us. He will take away our stony heart or our coldness or our indifference towards God, that we're not just satisfied with tradition, we're not satisfied with routine or formality, but we want to have a closeness with God, and gives us a heart of feeling for the things of God that we didn't have before. How many understand what I'm talking about? Someone drags you into the church like they did with me to a certain extent, and I'm thinking, why am I here? I don't want to be here. But then God captivates you and touches you, and then as you seek God, God fills you with his spirit, and your whole life is turned upside down. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm going to make it so there's something inside of you that says, I got to get to God. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. I'm telling you, 99.9% of the people who lose out with God is because their flesh was not crucified and they were not able to contain the lust that we have in the flesh. Each of us were born with a disdain almost for God, our backs towards God. By nature, we don't want anything to do with God or his word, and it's only when we receive the Holy Ghost that we have a desire for godly things, but we need to feed that desire. Keep walking in the Spirit. Even David, who had declared by God, a man after God's own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David finds himself guilty of sin, and he was overcome by the flesh because he made provisions for the flesh, even though he had an intimate relationship. Now, if the man who was after God's own heart, probably the greatest of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, had a problem with the flesh, how much more are each and every one of us susceptible to falling away from God because of something that's going on in our flesh? And he begs God in Psalms 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew or rebirth a right spirit within. Let me have joy. Church, our greatest battle is not North Korea. It's not the economy, it's not somebody who's on the job or even your family. It's our flesh constantly wanting to take back control that it lost when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's going to be an ever struggle, battle with the flesh, to stay in the Spirit. How many of you brought your flesh with you this morning? Amen. There are times where I wish I could have a out-of-body experience just to get away from me, you know? We, like David, need to renew a right spirit within us on a daily basis, or we'll lose the battle to the one that we live with. It's a good thing that God shows us in Scripture great men and great women who battled their flesh. He didn't hide that. Great people who had done great things for God, spiritual people dedicated to living for God, yet constantly struggling with their own flesh. Most new saints are surprised when they have a struggle. They think they can just come into the church, everything will be wonderful. They'll never have those desires that they had before they walked into the church. Habits will fall away, and they'll never be tempted by those things ever again. If you backslide, I know exactly where you'll be, the same place God delivered you from. So let's turn to Romans, the 7th chapter. And verse number 18. Paul is saying this, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I want to do good. You know? I mean, little kids, how many of us have had little kids and they say, Daddy, Mommy, I want to do what's right, but, you know, something just snuck up on me and I painted the walls or whatever. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Are you kidding? Paul! Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. There's something in me, inherent in me, that causes me to do things that aren't pleasing to God. And I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's that spirit within me that I love God, I love His word, I love church services, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's a battle that is going on in each and every one of us, and the victory will come at the sound of the trump. Here Paul is so outraged with his flesh that he considers it a body of death that he has to drag around. So let's unpack the scripture to find out how Paul overcame the flesh. I'm so glad that God allows us to see that even probably the greatest apostle in the New Testament have some of the same struggles, some of the same weaknesses, some of the same problems that each and every one of us have to go through. I believe a message like this can help us defeat our greatest enemy, who's wearing your clothes this morning. There are two laws, the law of sin and the law of spirit. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, we become the King's kids, and we receive His holy nature when we receive His Spirit. So when God starts to live in us, now all of a sudden the characteristics and attributes of God is within us, and we take on the nature of God, and that changes all of the rules in our life. I don't understand it, but I know I want to come to church now. I want to read God's word now. I want to worship God, not only in church services, but I want to do it in my car. I want to do it in my living room. I don't understand it, but just a few weeks ago before I was filled with God's Spirit, I didn't want anything to do with those things. Now there's this desire within me, a brand new heart. That's why, see, I don't understand how there can be people who can be faithful to God and the traditions of a church without the power of God within them, you see. Sin and old lifestyles repulse us now, and I don't understand how this happens so quickly, but it's God's nature within us. 12-step programs won't do it. 48-step programs won't do it. I don't care about the support group, so that's nice, and we can all share our insecurities and our problems and our weaknesses, but it won't allow us to overcome. It has to be a power that is within us, enabling us to overcome that inherent lust of the flesh. Now, please listen to this statement. At this point, our old nature is not eradicated, but merely subdued within us. So what God has done is He's pushed down that nature of the flesh and said, I'm overruling it with the power of the Spirit within you now. You can live for God. Oh, but I've tried, years ago. I've tried to stop this and I've tried to stop that. And I made a commitment that I was going to read the book and go to church, but it never worked. But now there's a power within you that allows us to conform to God's word and judgments, a new heart. And our flesh still has the ability to commit sin given the right circumstances. Romans 13 and 14, it says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There are some things that, folks, we need to walk around, not be tempted by. Galatians 5 and 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. Why is it so important to get into an atmosphere like this? Because it strengthens us against the thing that would do us in. I remember as a boy, the farm across the street still had big plow horses. And my neighbor, who happened to be a great uncle, would set me on the neck of that plow horse, and I'd grab a hold of the horns of that great big, And so, but I'd see that there were leather blinders on that horse. So the horse didn't go this way or that way. Because of the blinders, it always walked a straight row. Always went straight. What God wants to do is put blinders on each of us so we're walking in the path of righteousness. And it's the Holy Ghost that gives us an alarm and says, you're off track. It's the Holy Ghost within us that restrains us from getting off of the path of righteousness, but our flesh can override God's alarm system. Pastor, is it all right if I go there? Well, I don't think it'd be good for you. I think you're going to be exposed to some things that will revive your flesh, you see. You're so restricted. No, what you are is you're so protected because God doesn't want you to make provision for the flesh. What other people think is okay is going to lead you down a path of destruction, you see. There's also another two laws in nature, the law of gravity and the law of aerodynamics. This world is constantly pulling us down. You'll notice if you try to jump up, you'll always come back down. And what God is going to do at the rapture of the church, he's going to release us from the gravity of this world, the pull of this world. He's saying, okay, gravity, you cannot hold them down, and we're going to float up to meet God in the air. Now, the law of the Spirit doesn't destroy the law of sin, but it overcomes it. And as long as a bird flaps its wings or a plane engages its engine, the law of aerodynamics enables them to override the law of gravity. You see, there's something that overrides that law of gravity. However, gravity has not been destroyed. Because when the bird folds its wings in, gravity takes over. And when the engines stop in the plane, gravity takes over, and there's going to be a fall, and there's going to be some hurt. So what God is saying, you know, the Spirit is there to override the law of sin and the flesh. But I'll tell you what, you better keep on flapping those wings, you know. You need to keep walking in the Spirit, and the other law won't have dominion over you. And when you stop, gravity reasserts itself, and you fall. The flesh constantly wants to reassert itself into our life. There isn't a person that doesn't get this feeling like, oh, remember what that was like? And the Bible says you need to gird up your the loins of your mind. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Now, the enemy can't read our minds, but God can. And we're all susceptible to those thoughts. And what God is saying is exchange those thoughts for good thoughts, you know? Hey, this stuff could preach. Saints can live above sin if they keep flapping their wings, walking in the Spirit. I taught a Bible study to a man years ago, long before I was ever pastoring. His name was Don Johnson. He was a full-blooded Indian, and he struggled with a lot of things. I worked with him for literally years in order to help him and even his family. From time to time, he'd be on the reservation, then he'd come home, and he'd come to my office, and he'd need something. And he told me this. He said, Pastor, there are two dogs inside of me fighting to the death. And I know, Brother Schumacher, which dog is going to win. It's going to be the one that I feed. And there's a struggle within each and every one of us. And one is going to win and one is going to be defeated. If you feed the spiritual man in Bible studies and reading and worship, I'll tell you what, you're not going to have any problem with the flesh. But if you give in to the flesh and you take the flesh in a place that it's not supposed to go and it is tempted by the things that you used to do, that dog's going to win, folks. Some of Martin Luther's young followers wrote him a letter with some questions. I read this word for word, and they said, we are harassed by many temptations so often that we just can't get any rest. And you don't seem to have trouble with these temptations. What is your secret? Are you immune? Don't you ever have problems with temptation? Are you not bothered by those things? His reply was, I too am plagued by temptations of the flesh, but when temptation came knocking at the door, I always answered and said, go away, this place is occupied by Jesus. You know, I've said, just don't answer the phone, you know? I know the thoughts come and the opportunities are there, but if you don't respond to them, and if you don't respond to them, and if you don't respond to them, eventually they're gone. I'm not tempted by things that I used to be tempted because I don't give way to it. I don't make provision for it, folks. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter, please. First Peter 1 and 13 says, wherefore gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. And so there's a former lust that we're ignorant to, and God's saying, gird up your loins. And then if you go to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse number 8, we see Paul giving us some more instructions of how we can overcome. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Exchange your thoughts. Start thinking about the day you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for your healing. Thank God for your deliverance. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, I'll take those feelings away from you if you simply concentrate on the things that are good. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Don't let any sin strap itself to you. I've preached on this scripture over the years a number of times, and what they used to do in old times, if there was a death sentence, they would literally chain a dead body to you, and eventually that corrupted corpse would start to eat away at your body, and it would take a long time. But you know what? That's what sin does. A little bit of sin starts to corrupt us and decay us. We were all chained to the corpse of sin, but God set us free. He delivered us. Oh, wretched man that I am, God, deliver me from this. Now, Paul wasn't worried about his accusers. He wasn't worried about those who attacked him because of the truth, because of what his preaching. But he mostly was concerned about, and perhaps even worried about, was his flesh. And so turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. First Corinthians 9 and verse 24. He's talking about the first Olympics that took place in Corinth. And he says in verse number 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And there just isn't one winner, but all can get the crown, you know. And it's not a parsley crown. It's not a crown of pine needles, but we're going to receive a crown of glory with jewels in it, the Bible tells us. And so he's saying, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So what he's saying is, even though I preach, even though I'm anointed, even though I've started churches, you know what? I can lose out with God. Why? Because of this body of death that I carry around. The word under my body means to hit under the eye. In other words, Paul said, whenever my flesh gets unruly, I give it a black eye. You know? You just sit down there, flesh. You know, I know you want to stay home today. No, you're going to church. You see, there is an underdog. That's us. We need to have someone who takes charge, and it's got to be the spiritual man who takes charge of the fleshly man, because there's a fight going on. Your worst enemy is the one wearing your clothes this morning. The one who tried to get you to stay home this morning and who will try to get you to stay home tonight. You take your enemy with you wherever you go. You feed it. You pamper it. You give it all your extra money. You take it to places that will be fun. But take it to a place where you can get strength. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Could there be angels that are screaming in heaven saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now, we hate that in the scripture where they said, "Crucify Jesus." But without the crucifixion of the flesh, he could not have said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." And I'm telling you, there's something that says, you better put a knife to your throat, you better crucify this flesh, or it will be dominant in your life, and then you'll have to drag your carcass to church every once in a while to show up and tell people you're still in the church. No, you need to get rid of that feeling and the lust of the flesh so you can have power in the Spirit. Turn to Romans, please. Coming to an end. Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in verse number 1. Romans 7 and 8 are so outstanding, showing exactly what we have to overcome. Verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no verdict, no sentence to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, if we're living for God the best that we possibly can, and nobody's perfect, but then we don't walk into church feeling condemned or guilty or on trial. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you can write your own report card. When you want to be in church, when you want to do what's right, the Spirit is dominant. But if somehow you're feeling cold in your spirit, and I don't know, these singers just aren't as good as they used to be, and the preacher doesn't know a whole lot anymore, then what's happening is the flesh is starting to dominate your life, and red lights should go off. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, and it does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelt in you. Now, we also look at that and say, okay, there's the rapture, there's the power. God's going to take us up because of the Spirit within us. It raised Christ from the dead, it's going to raise us. But it also can do a work as we're living for God. It can quicken us, make us alive in the Spirit again. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. This is a Bible study. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So every day we need to have a renewal, just like every day you go to the refrigerator, every day you need to go to God, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. You did it for David, God. You can do that for me today. The key to overcoming the flesh is for the inner man to be renewed every day. Jude 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in love of God. Amen. We can keep ourselves in the love of God. Nothing will fight the flesh like praying in the Spirit. It is a renewal of the law of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And thank God we can. I read this yesterday. It says, the shepherd checks his flock every morning, goes out into his flock, and he may find a new lamb with his mother who has died in the process of birthing. And in another area of the flock, he finds a mother sheep who lost her lamb in the process of birthing. Now, the mother could die of a broken heart because of the loss of his lamb, and the orphan lamb could die because of lack of nursing. And all logic would tell you to put the orphan under the care of the mother sheep who lost the lamb. It just seems so natural to take that poor little lamb that is now motherless and put it with the sheep that just lost her lamb. But the two will not accept each other, which seems so tragic. You know, people get all teary-eyed with the pictures of Houston and all families separated and even their pets separated. But what is a real tragedy is we're separated from our God. It's like us. We are separated from God that longs to love us and take care of us, and we are dying from a lack of spiritual nursing. But one thing can be done and is still being done by shepherds today. The shepherd will take the blood of the dead lamb and wash the orphan lamb in its blood. And the mother sheep will then adopt the orphan lamb because it has the smell of the baby that it has lost. We could do nothing to remove the scent of sin and death in our life, but he's washed us. Washed us in the blood of the Lamb. He did it for us when he covered us with his blood. Now we can take nourishment. We can be protected. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I died, but I'm alive. I'm more alive today than I ever was before. I didn't realize that God was so real and he loved me so much and he touched me and do things for me and protect me. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Romans 7 and 25, Paul concludes, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I know to do right, but God help me. In other words, Paul is saying, I can determine to serve God with my mind, but I can only overcome the flesh by your spirit within me. Everyone here has trouble with our flesh, but God's spirit will give us the victory. All we have to do is keep moving the wings. Because we can overcome the law of sin by the law of the Spirit. But we have to get into the presence of God. We have to be active in God's church, you see. And then decisions are taken out of our realm. It's not a matter of, will I live for God? It's, I'm going to live for God. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. It's not a matter of, well, I don't know if I have enough church or should I go back. It's a matter of get me to God. Flesh, you stay home. I'm going to get in a place where I can be refreshed and renewed one more time, because I don't know if next week the Lord's coming. I don't know if next week there's going to be a missile, a nuclear missile. I want to be ready all of the time. Hallelujah. Amen. You people are so wonderful. You all look good and you respond and you love each other because we're a family. We are. We're part of each other's lives. And I'm grateful for the atmosphere that you create. Not just this platform, but you create in order to renew that spirit within me and everybody else that's in this place. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? If you want a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, in the 70s there was a shortage of everything, shortage of gas, shortage of coffee, but there are no shortages in heaven. Amen. You can get filled up. If you're low, get filled up. No lines, no waiting. The price has already been paid. Why not fill up this morning? Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?